Brute 10 is here at last. Trillions of cicadas underground for the last 17 years are burrowing up through the soil and emerging in numerous eastern and midwestern states. They'll shed their nymphal skins, sing their deafening songs, and mate. Then they'll die, and it's all over until 2038 when the next generation emerges from the ground. To learn more, we called up cicada expert Gene Kritzky. He's the Dean of Behavioral and Natural Sciences and a professor of biology at Mount St. Joseph University in Cincinnati, Ohio. Gene, welcome to Living on Earth.
I'm glad to be here.
So you're joining us from Ohio, which is ground zero for this explosion in cicadas. What exactly does it look and feel like to be part of that?
Well, it starts with they start merging in mass numbers. And you're waiting for that. You're taking soil temperatures or you're looking at models. And that evening, when they start coming out, that's when the soil temperature reaches 64 degrees Fahrenheit, usually a day where you have a nice soaking rain that really softens things up in the soil. And they come out and you go out after dark and you're hearing this crunching as they are falling from the trees onto dried leaves, for example. And you look at the trees. You watch these things climb up the tree, locking their legs into that vertical surface of the tree trunk or a brick wall or fence or what have you. And then the back of the cicada nymph splits and you see this white space appear and eventually gets a little wider. And then the head capsule splits on the top. And then the whole adult pulls itself out of the old nymphal skin, wriggles its abdomen free. And there you have it. It's a separate adult now. It's got shriveled up little wings. It's creamy white with red eyes and two black patches behind the head. And then for the next half hour, 40 minutes, it starts expanding the wings by pumping fluid through it. And the wings get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then finally, they look like they're all held in place, tent-like over the back of the abdomen, just like a cicada should, except they're creamy white with red eyes and black patches. And then it takes another hour and a half for them to actually turn dark and get the orange color to their wing veins, membranous veins, and turn into the typical adult cicada.
Wow, so interesting. You know, but at the same time, it kind of seems like something out of a horror movie. I mean, all of these creatures just coming out of the ground at the same time. It's intriguing, but also kind of creepy in a way.
Yeah, I can see why you'd say that. I actually observed this in a cemetery one night. And all of a sudden, you're here with all the headstones and whatever. All of a sudden, you see that the ground is moving with these things. And they're actually climbing up the headstones and transforming adults off of the headstones. Yeah.
So the cicadas are just about to hatch out now. What next? Tell us, please, about the full life cycle of cicadas once they emerge.
Sure. After they've transformed the adult, they're going to climb to the top of the trees for about 5 days. It's really strange because for the few days after they first started coming out, you don't hear any calling. That doesn't start till about 5 days later after they've completed the hardening of their exoskeleton and they're ready to fly and sing. Males gather in large numbers in trees. We call it a chorusing center where all these males gather and start singing. Females fly into the tree. A male sings. She responds by flicking her wings. If he hears that, he'll walk closer and call again. She'll flick her wings, walk closer. And then eventually mating ensues. Mating can last several hours. And then after that is completed, the female will start laying her eggs within the next couple of days. She'll lay 500 eggs in the terminal growth of tree branches. And then she and the male die. Those eggs will be in the trees just under the bark. And 6 to 10 weeks later, they'll start hatching. And the nymph wriggles its way free from the egg nest and it just drops to the ground and they're gone. And it's almost instantaneous. And they'll feed on grass roots or other herbaceous roots for a few weeks. And then on New Year's Day, they'll be 8 to 10, 12 inches below the surface, sucking on a tree root. And that's what they'll be for the next 17 years. While they're under there, they're not hibernating. They're not sleeping. They're not dormant. They're sucking on tree roots. They're growing. They molt 4 times during that period. They will probably don't move no more than about a meter from where they first went into the ground, but they will tunnel around looking for tree roots and what have you. And then by year 13, they've already molted now to their last immature stage. And so for 17-year cicadas, they won't molt again until they emerge and form the adult that'll occur in May of the year. And so that's the life cycle. Doesn't sound very exciting, but it's obviously been successful.
So aside from the sheer number of them that come out, The other really distinguishing feature is the sound that they make. How do they make that sound? And do different species make the same sound? Or can you actually tell the difference from hearing them?
Well, there are three different species of 17-year cicadas, and they can be differentiated by the color pattern of their abdomen on the underside of the abdomen, but also by their calls. The chorusing and the individual calls are made with a structure called the timbal. And this is a membranous structure that's ribbed, found just under the wings on the first abdominal segment. Inside the cicada male's body, there are muscles that are attached to that. And when they contract, they cause those ribs to buckle, which makes a sound. A good analogy, take a bendy straw and pull it out and push it back in and hear that little zzz, but do that now 250 times a second. The male abdomen is mostly hollow. It's mostly just an airspace to help resonate that as well. So that's the making of the sound. Females don't have a timbal, so she is silent except for flicking of her wings. That's how she responds. Get them all together into one large group, and it's almost like a surreal experience. The large species of cicada, Magus cicada septendecim, it's the one that has the call that sometimes are referred to as sounding like the word. To me, it's what a Foley artist would have used for the flying saucers in a 1950s science fiction movie. Now, Magus cicada castanei, this has a series of buzz and clicks. But when they're together in a large chorus, it sounds like a shh. So you have this high sort of hollow sound where the flying saucers are call, and then the shh below that. And you can hear those two tones very readily in chorusing centers. The third species, Decula, is the rarest of all, 5, maybe 10% in some locations. And to me, it sounds like a rotary sprinkler head. It's buzz and clicks, but it's a... And so if you're lucky to get all three, you could have just blend them together, and that's what your full-fledged chorus would be. And then to get it to add a little more spice to it, make it about 96 decibels, which is on par with a rock concert. That's the music of a cicada symphony.
So there are literally trillions of these insects that are emerging right now in the eastern part of the United States. What kind of ecological role do cicadas play when they come out? I mean, it's a sudden influx of a species that hasn't been there for 17 years. How does that affect the ecosystem?
Well, that's the neat thing about periodical cicadas. They are uniquely adapted to life in the eastern deciduous forest. And if we were able to sort of wipe out all the periodical cicadas, I think the forest would still be here. But when they do emerge, and during the life cycle, they do some considerable good for the ecosystem. Unlike beavers, for example, they may not alter the ecosystem, but they're good for its survival. For example, when the cicadas are underground during those 17 years, they are turning over soil and they're tunneling. When they emerge, they come out of these holes about the size and diameter of your little pinky, your little finger. And these holes persist. They don't all disappear right away. And that's like a natural aeration for the soil. And in the warm summer months, and if you have a very heavy rain, in most cases, you have these heavy drenching downpours, and a lot of that water runs off into the creeks and the Ohio River eventually. But a lot of that water gets down those holes. It helps water those trees. So that's beneficial as well. When the periodical cicadas come out and transform into adults, and even at the nymphal stage, they'll be providing food for animals, it's an opportunistic food pulse. That's just amazing. Raccoons, squirrels, birds of all kind thoroughly enjoy periodical cicadas. And some people might not think that having more rodents would be a good thing, but in natural areas, more rodents would be more food for owls and raptors. And so it can help those populations increase for this year, which may help more offspring to go into the future. Then all these cicadas die, and these carcasses collect at the base of trees. You give a nice morning dew from a cool summer night the next morning, or a nice summer rain, get them wet, add some 90-degree temperatures, and these things rot. And they stink to high heaven. And as they decay, the nutrients from those rotting cicadas go into the soil around the trees, helping the trees, but also helping the cicadas that are feeding on those trees.
What do you think people should do if they want to learn more about cicadas? How can people get involved?
Well, the first thing to do is to download the app Cicada Safari. It was an app that I developed at the Center for IT Engagement at the university. What this app does is it asks you to help us map out where Brood 10 is. You go out, you get the app, and then go out on your own Cicada Safari and go looking for it where the maps tell us that it is, but also it's important to go looking for it where it once was or where it might be adjacent counties. Already, we've had cicadas emerge this year from areas where we did not expect them. Go out there, find a cicada, you photograph it from your app, and submit it. The value of Cicada Safari is that it is a citizen science project where there's verification. We're tickled with this. We're expecting now 90,000 to 100,000 photographs this year.
Gene Kritsky is Dean of the Behavioral and Natural Sciences and a professor of biology at Mount St. Joseph University. Thank you so much for joining me today, Gene.
It was a pleasure.